I knew that when I came out, I was going to get bad news. I'm sorry, it's cancer. I knew what they were going to tell me. I was a little shocked. They said, yeah, you know what? Your liver is fully covered. I asked the question. I go, if I don't do any treatment, like chemo or anything, or we don't, re like, how long do I have to live? I was just curious. And they're like, a couple months. He tells me I have stage 4 colon cancer. This is the first time I heard it. He said, you're inoperable. You're incurable. You're palliative, you're terminally ill. Like he's firing all these words at me. So I'm like, I thought I was dead. I'm happy where I am now. I've had a lot of success over the last year and a half by the regimen that I put myself on. You know, I should be dead by now. You know what I mean? If I didn't take control. Every single thing I come across the last year and a half, I try not to take it as negative, and I try to take it as a blessing.
Kerry here for the Carnivore Diet movie, and thank you so much for watching our YouTube videos and listening to our podcast. It's because of you and your support that we're able to do this Carnivore Diet documentary. We're making great progress, and I'm not going to stop until we reach millions of people. But we still need to raise more funds in order to film this properly to the level needed to get it on one of these big streaming services. So we're asking for your help. If you would, please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free to our email newsletter. And once a week, we'll be sending out updates behind the scenes. We'll tell you about new meetups. We'll give you special invites and things like that. Completely free. Sign up there. The other thing you can do at the website is purchase our little portable travel size Redmond salt shaker with a keychain holder. People have been loving these. We offered them on our 24-hour live stream. You can purchase these right on the website, and every proceed, every penny that we get from profit goes right towards the Carnivore Diet documentary. And the other thing we have there are the water bottles and the cutting boards. They're completely customizable, and you can engrave them. Every penny from those goes to support the Carnivore Diet documentary. You can also link on over to the GoFundMe. That's where we'll get the most bang for your buck is there. So please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Kerry here from Homestead Howe in the Carnivore Diet movie. I'm honored to have Mr. Jeffrey DeProsperous here with us today, joining us. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm great, Kerry. Thanks for having me. And thanks for pronouncing my name perfect.
I got it. Okay, good. I was worried.
Absolutely. No, you're unbelievable. If I some people are like DeProsperous, like you're perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Hey, I was glad I got it correct on the 24-hour live stream.
I was blown away by that.
It definitely helps because you've started your own YouTube channel. So I think I heard you say it on there too. So that helped as well. But yeah, I've been looking forward to talking to you. We talked briefly before. You've set up a YouTube channel. I'm going to have that linked in the description below for everyone to see. And yeah, maybe could we just start out? You could just tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe your carnivore story.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks. Thanks, Kerry. Well, my name is Jeff DeProsperous, and yes, and thank you for putting that up there. I started a YouTube channel recently, basically because you, to be honest, Kerry, you motivated me because, you know, you've got some great experience with YouTube. Like you said, you told me you only been carnivore for 6 months, but you were doing YouTube forever. And me and my sons have been following you quite a bit. So you motivated me, and especially with your 24-hour live that you just did this past Saturday. You know, my first video that I made was kind of in a panic. If anyone goes on my YouTube channel and they see my first video, I had chemotherapy that day, naturopath, and then I was like, oh, I got to make a video, guys, because something important's coming up by Kerry Mann. So that was my first experience with that. But my story, Kerry, is that what you kind of want me to start with?
Yeah, please. So I know you're going through stage 4 cancer.
Yes, correct.
You're also a carnivore, and you're having some good success with that. So maybe if you could take us back, it's a tough thing, but could you maybe take us back to when you were diagnosed with the cancer and tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Well, first off, I was I've been a high school phys ed teacher for 21 years now. It's actually my dream job. I always ever wanted to be is a professional athlete. And if I couldn't be a professional athlete, I always said I want to be a high school gym teacher. So I had my perfect job and I did it for that past 21 years. And what ended up happening is I'm going to go back to when I first got diagnosed. It was end of March 2022, beginning of April, end of March. And I'm going to go back even further from that into the summer of 2021. And I think June 2021, I'm not sure how it was where you guys were. I'm pretty sure it's similar, but I'm here in Canada. June of 2021, we were coming out of a lockdown actually still, like the third lockdown. And like many people, family time was great and it was great for cooking. But I noticed I was barbecuing tons of meat, which was good. I learned that now. But also my wife was, she was doing like most households would do probably in North America. You know, she'd be making the salads, the rice, the potatoes, the bread, everything to go with the meat I was barbecuing. So this was around like June 2021. And after every meal, I was feeling bloated, just bloated to the point where I couldn't even move. And I'm like, I need to lie down. And so when summer hit, I said to my wife and my two sons, I said, I'm going to do something different. And I, like many people do, they cut out meat first. So I decided to become a vegetarian. So I became a vegetarian from July 2021 all the way up to December, Christmas 2021. It drove my parents of Italian heritage who know the importance of meat, drove them nuts. But I did it because I think I blamed it on the meat. Little did I know, I probably already had a tumor in my colon from the diagnosis of it. And I'll talk about that in a little bit, but from the diagnosis of it, I probably had a tumor in my colon, my primary tumor, for like the past 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, now that I think about it, becoming a vegetarian, what I've learned about cancer and tumors from Dr. Anthony Chafee and even Dr. Thomas Seyfried is one of them I study quite a bit. Being a vegetarian was probably the worst thing I ever did. I fed those tumors. My insulin was raised. I was feeding it glucose, carbohydrates, probably the worst thing ever. So leading up after that, you know, December, January, I started to become mentally a mess and didn't feel good down here. And I wasn't sleeping. I think November, December, January 2022, for about 3 months, I was sleeping maybe 1 hour a night. And I didn't know what was going on. I was going to work. I was teaching phys ed. And, you know, at the time in January, it was coming towards the end of the first semester. And I was getting ready for like the end of the semester. So we were doing these culminating assignments. And I remember having my health class in a computer lab, and I would leave to go to the washroom to go almost like throw up. I was feeling nauseous. This is really weird because I've been that high school phys ed teacher in good shape for, you know, 20 years, but I hadn't slept for three months. Anyways, I'm sharing all this information with my wife and my father and my mother and my sister, my brother-in-law. And it got to the end of January, where it was the end of the semester, where I couldn't take it anymore. And I, you know, my family said, you got to go tell your principal, you need to take a leave from work. So I went into my principal's office, took a leave from work. I was in tears. I told him I didn't know what was going on. A couple of days before the January 2022, doctors weren't seeing you face to face. My family doctor, because of the pandemic, my family doctor, he diagnosed me with being severely depressed and having anxiety. And so he gave me depression pills and sleep pills. So I went off. It was crazy. Like I went off work in February, March, hiding in my house, taking these pills, not making me better. But then I was also kept, you know, diagnosing myself. So around March break of 2022. I say March break because we call that in Canada. It's like a spring break, I think, for you guys in US. I started noticing my stools being thinner and smaller and a little bit of blood. So I called my family doctor, and my family doctor at the time is like, "Oh, just drink prune juice." He's like, you're too young. You know, I was 43 when I got, you know, I'm 43, 44 years old. You're too young. Drink prune juice. And I'm like, whatever. I went out and bought prune juice and it didn't work. Then I kind of begged my family doctor, "Can you get me like scans, tests?" Like, so he sent me for an ultrasound. They saw something, not much. So then I'm begging him for a colonoscopy. And he's like, okay, he sent me for a colonoscopy. And I knew by then, this was like end of March, 2022. I knew that when I came out, I was going to get bad news. So I was prepared, but that it was crazy. The doctor that did the colonoscopy told me he removed 3 polyps. And he said, you have a large growth in your colon, in your sigmoid colon. And I said, "Large growth, what's that?" And he's like, "I'm sorry, it's cancer." Mm. And it's covering, like, if your colon's here, it's covering like pretty much half of my colon. It's pretty large, he said. But he said, you know, he was pretty optimistic. "We're going to do surgery. We'll cut it out. You'll be good to go. I'll see you in a year." But in the meantime, you know, you're getting set up for CT scan. So I had, from that colonoscopy, I had a CT scan early April 2022, a couple weeks later. And I knew by Mr. Google and diagnosing myself of where colon cancer goes next, that my liver was covered even before I went into the CT scan, because I could feel pressure in my liver. I couldn't lie on my stomach as a sleeper at night. It was bothering me. So when I went in for my CT scan, when I came out and I met the colon specialist and the liver specialist at the cancer hospital here in Canada, I knew what they were going to tell me. I was a little shocked. They said, "Yeah, you know what? Your liver is fully covered." Like, they couldn't even tell me numbers and how many tumors are on there. So then the colon specialist passed me to the liver specialist. The liver specialist said, "Well, you know what? We're going to hit it with chemo for a bit. And then hopefully," he was kind of optimistic, "maybe we can do surgery." So, you know, I had a little bit of optimism in my mind. And by the way, those colon specialists and liver specialists, they told me that, I asked the question, I go, "If I don't do any treatment, like chemo or anything, or we don't, like, how long do I have to live?" I was just curious. And they're like, "A couple months, maybe a couple months." They go, no doctor can tell you how long you can live. They were just kind of guessing. So anyways, that was April-ish. Beginning of May 2022, I get a phone call from the oncologist who's going to be administering my chemo. And so nothing's staged yet. So I remember this phone call beginning of May 2022. I remember this phone call. My wife was on it. She works from her home or from her car most of the time. She's a banker, and she's on the call. I think my brother-in-law is on the call, and I'm taking this call from the oncologist, and he stages it. He tells me I have stage 4 colon cancer. And this is the first time I heard it. You know, my wife was pretty upset about hearing that. And he said, "You're inoperable. You're incurable. You're palliative, you're terminally ill." Like, he's firing all these words at me. So I'm like, I thought I was dead, like, at the time. So that was huge. And then we got on chemo. I started chemo end of May 2022. And I went all the way to May 2023. And I did well. And I can tell you later why I did well. And a lot of it has to do with the carnivore diet and fasting, along with the chemo. But then I asked for a chemo break, and I had a chemo break. It was nice to hang out with the family without going for every other week chemo treatment. I had June, July, August off. And I just started, when I made that video, and it makes sense now, when I made that video for you last Wednesday before your Carnivore Live, that was my coming back to chemo. So I did 27 rounds from May to May. That was my 28th round. I'm starting all over again, calling it round one of the second session, I guess. So that was Wednesday. I started chemo again. And that's my story up to now, Carrie.
Wow. So much. On the staging, Jeff, just for people that don't know, what, how do they determine the staging? It's, is it, that's, is there a formula, that's, or?
No, that's a good question. I'm constantly asked that question. And yeah, I'm wondering what formula they use too. But from my experience, because every other week I'm in a cancer clinic, and I actually have like cancer buddy friends that, like, there's this one young fellow, he's close to my age, and we have the same thing. He sat beside me every single one. And he had stage 4 colon cancer, but his colon cancer, he had it removed and then it came back. So anything that comes back automatically, from what my understanding, again, I'm not a doctor, is stage 4 already. But for me, stage 4 is because it has, my primary tumor in my colon has spread to another location. It's now in my liver, automatically becomes stage 4. I think stage 3 is at the point where it's large enough and the doctors can tell it's ready to spread. And then stage 1 and 2 is most of the time pretty localized to one spot.
And so you said you didn't have any surgery. It's just the chemo treatments.
That's correct. You know, when I first got diagnosed, you know, I wanted all this removed big time, all this poison inside of me. That's what I call it, right? And I didn't have a surgery. So everything I'm learning, though, through a lot of the doctors and from people's experience with having cancer, especially my buddy that sat beside me, when people have surgery, sometimes things come back and they spread more. So from my knowledge of that I'm gaining over the past year and a half, I'm happy where I am now. I was disappointed at first not having surgery, but I've had a lot of success over the last year and a half by the regimen that I put myself on. I'm not going to say the traditional doctors put me on. I put myself on it. I've had a lot of success, and I'm going to keep, my goal is to keep chopping away at this as much as I can.
It sounds like a big part of this is you taking your health into your own hands, you doing your own research, you figuring things out. I mean, it sounds like almost like you kind of had to beg just to get the test done. Like, would it have, it just would have gotten so bad that it would have had to happen without you kind of jumping in there and saying, no, I need to have these tests done. Is that kind of the case?
100%. And I'm not here to, you know, I'm never going to mention anybody's name, a doctor. I'm not here to throw my family doctor under the bus or anything, but like, I had to take control. I wish I would have took control maybe a little bit earlier, obviously, when it was still localized in the colon. That would have been amazing. But I'm glad I took control, because if I didn't, if I just relied on, today's medicine and in the modern day medicine and the doctors today that, you know, that treat you, family doctors and doctors in hospitals, I know they're there for a good reason, good intention, but if I just relied on them, I don't, my best friend, who I'm going to tell you about later, he says, cause he's happy that I'm telling my journey on the YouTube that you've kind of motivated me to do, Carrie, is, you know, I should be dead by now. You know what I mean? If I didn't take control. So
that's something. I was very fortunate. Actually, yesterday I got to speak to Dr. Sean Baker,
and he said, "I love him."
Yeah, he's the great.
He's a beast. Like me and my boys love watching him. Sorry.
Yeah. No, he's the greatest. I'm so fortunate to talk to some of these people. But he said something very similar. He's like, you know, these doctors mean well and they have the best intentions, but some of these guys see 100 patients a day, and you have to take control. You have to put it into your own hands for a lot of these things, or you're gonna. It's not going to work out for you on many fronts, but wow. So
100%. Yes.
Yeah. I just want to say too, not to sidetrack, but I really appreciate that you're sharing your story with people, because it's these little individual examples and stories, I think, really inspire other people. And it's just amazing to me, because you're going through all of this, you're going through the chemo, 28 rounds of chemo. You had the break, but you're back on it now. Had you not told me all this, I'd be like, this dude's just a thriving carnivore. Like, you're bright and cheery. You got the carnivore glow. You're excited. Nice. You're passionate. You're fired up about it. So, yeah. Could you tell us?
I just want fired up. Like, I'm fired up because of people like you, though, too, Carrie. Like, I was going to bring on, like, my carnivore coffee that because I watched your video, one of you making the steaks and you downing it and flexing and telling your wife how you're pumped with testosterone now. Right. So, I've taken everything that's going on in my life, and I guess that's why I chose my title as a blessing, what I'm going through. So,
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I got a little obnoxious in that video. I got to I got to tone it down a little bit, but yeah, I get fired up too. But
I love the way you and your wife were interacting. That was a good one.
Nice.
Jen, right?
Right, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. On that front, that's a good transition. So I know you've got your wife and two sons as well that you talk about. How are they doing with everything? I mean, obviously, yeah, it's tough, but
it is tough. And that is majority when I meet people, that is the first thing they ask. They ask about my, and I appreciate that because they're my life. My two sons, I'm sure you can understand. I think you have three daughters, correct? Or four, because you have triplets, right? Yeah.
Right. Yep.
My two sons and my wife are my life. And my parents and I have one sister, but my immediate household is everything. And I'll tell you something, I know it's tough on my wife because she's still working full time and she's living with someone that has stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. Not easy for her. My boys, because she has the stresses of work and life and everything, right? Whereas my sons and my sister, who's also a teacher, she taught me this. She says, kids are pretty resilient. They'll be able to handle it. You won't be surprised. Because I know people that hide things from their kids when it comes to health and this and that. But my boys have been the biggest part of my journey, my two sons. They come to doctor's appointments with me when they can. They're heavily involved in sports. I'm on the road every night bringing them to soccer. They play a lot of sports, but they mainly focus on soccer. And when we're driving to these sports, like most of the time we're driving 45 minutes one way and 45 minutes back. We've created a habit where it's like, we're listening to guys like you, Carrie, Anthony Chaffee, Sean Baker. Okay. Ken DeBerry. We're listening to their YouTube channels and everything. And my boys are excited because, they the regimen I'm doing, they're on board with it. So, but anyways, yeah. And I just wanted to go back. Cause I remember you said something just earlier, Carrie, is you thanked me for telling my story now. As much as I seem like I'm an outgoing, energetic person, and I am, especially at work as a high school phys ed teacher. I think that's kind of innately goes with the job, but in my personal life, I'm an introvert. I like to keep to myself. I don't have too many. I have a small group of friends. I like to be at home. When I diagnosed myself and when I was off work, I was hiding. I didn't want anybody to know what was happening to me. This is kind of, I've been built. And when I say in a panic, I made that video for you because enough was enough. Like I'm good. I'm good where I am in my life. Now I want to help. I want to help other people because I think, I'm a living test tube. I'm not a doctor. Okay. I do have a kinesiology degree and phys ed degree and education degree. But I joke around about it. There's this comedian here in Canada that he always wanted to be a high school phys ed teacher. His name's Jerry D. I got no problem spitting that out. He's pretty famous around. And he always says, doctors are here, phys ed teachers are here. So, I do have a bit of a background when it comes to health and nutrition. And we could talk about that later because I'm kind of embarrassed what I've taught the last 20 years, everything I've learned being a carnivore for the past year and a half. But I do have a passion for it. And I've, in the last year and a half, Carrie, the knowledge that I've gained, I'm not calling myself an expert. I'm not saying I'm a carnivore expert. I'm not saying I'm even a dietitian but my knowledge base, I've learned so much in the last year and a half by watching the videos and studying the research and everything that's going on and the studies that are happening. I've learned so much more than I ever did in the two university degrees that I took 20 years ago.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I mean this sincerely too. I always believe in choosing my words carefully and not just flattery for the sake of flattery, but you nailed it with your YouTube video. I said to you in the email afterwards, I'm like, what does this guy do? And then I saw that you said you're an educator. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Cause you just sat down and you like spewed out the whole story, like one take, no edits. And I was stuck on every word. So I really like what you're doing. I could tell you've definitely done a lot of research. The thing too is, There's people out there for that, you know, Dr. Baker and Dr. Chafee, and those guys are great, but it's the personal story that you're going through this. You're going through this thing, and that's what touches people and motivates people and inspires people. So
thanks.
Absolutely. So yeah, could you tell us a little more now? So you got the cancer diagnosis, and then what were sort of the next steps, and when did you get into sort of the carnivore? How did that happen?
Yes. Well, like I said, I started chemo the end of May of 2022, May of 2022. And I did about three, and my chemo regimen, and this is the way it is. I go in for chemo on a Wednesday and I get a drip from the hospital, a certain type of chemo. And then when I leave, they push me with another type of chemo and they attach a bottle of another type of chemo that I carry on with me for 2 days. So it's a slow drip chemo. I have to wear this stupid fanny pack and I have to sleep with it on. And it's a real pain in my butt for 2 days. So from Wednesday to Friday, Friday is when I get the bottle off. That's the regimen I'm on. So the first three rounds, I do that every other week, every other Wednesday. For the first three rounds of chemo, I was pretty much on the standard American diet. You could say so. If anything, you could say the Mediterranean diet, me being Italian and, you know, having my mother cook for me my whole life. And she even trained my wife. My wife's not Italian, but she makes really good sauce. You know, I was eating Mediterranean diet for the first three rounds. But then I had someone pop into my life that was part of my life. He was a coaching colleague of mine. Coaching friend, because I, as a high school phys ed teacher, I've coached pretty much every sport. And this gentleman that I coach with, his name is Dwight Garlow, and he's got no problem me spitting this out there. He lives close to where my hometown here in Brantford, Ontario, in Canada. He lives close to it. He actually lives on the Native Reserve. He's an Indigenous fellow, and he started coaching with me 6 years. Probably 6 or 7 years ago to today. His daughter was in high school and she was on my high school soccer team that I was coaching. And he started coaching with me and he coaches a lot of sports. He's got a Dwight's got a passion for a lot of things in life. And I'll explain that later, but he started coaching with me. And anyways, when he heard I was off, he sent me a text message, like everybody was sending me text messages. And he said, "Hey Jeff, heard you're off. Hope everything's okay. Can I send you some videos?" That's how he started. And I'm like, videos? I'm like, what are you like? He's trying to make me feel good. Send me some like movie video. I don't know what he was sending me. Right. So the next thing you know, he's sending me videos. And the first video he sent me was Dr. Berg. I don't know if you watch Dr. Berg. Yeah. And Dr. Berg is interviewing the French guy that had colon cancer and did the ribeye steaks and the 21 day fat. That was the first video I watched. Anyways, Dwight, after watching a few things, it started intriguing. And then Dwight says, "Can I come visit you?" So I remember Dwight coming to visit me in my backyard. And this was like end of June, July. I've already did about three rounds of chemo. And he got, you know, leading up to the meeting with him, when he came to visit me, he started telling me about, you know, diet and what I should be eating, what I shouldn't be eating, and supplements and fasting. And he's telling me all this. And I'm like, and everything's kind of starting to make sense and clue in. So then in the meantime, there's a whole bunch of things going on. I'm doing research on a natural path and I end up visiting a natural path. And that's a totally different topic. And you know, I'll cover that later in a different episode, maybe on my YouTube channel or whatever. But I connected with, through the natural path, I connected with this other woman in my hometown who had colon cancer. And she did 3 day fasts around her chemo treatment, which was similar to me. So I was learning about fasting and I was learning about carnivore from my friend Dwight. And I decided to, you know, start making up a regimen and embedding things along with chemo. And when I say embedding things, I, you know, diet, which was ketogenic diet at first, it turned into carnivore later, supplements, fasting, exercise, natural path, osteopath. So my regimen keeps growing. I don't just rely on chemotherapy. And I think that's why I've had success. But that is my story, Dwight. Sorry if I went on. Carrie, if I went on about how I met my friend Dwight and how he introduced me to carnivore. That's that.
Dwight sounds like your best friend now. Like what a life changer that guy is.
Big time, big time. He's my best friend. And when I went off work in 2022 of January. Okay, I was off the rest of that semester. But then last school year, okay, 2022-2023, I actually, prescribed by my doctors, actually, my naturopath and my oncologist, they encourage exercise. So I said, well, you know what? I can go back to like volunteering and coaching some of the sports teams at the high school. I'm not officially working, but I'm volunteering. So Dwight and I, last year, we coached like 4 sports teams together. Mm-hmm. I wasn't working. I'm off. I'm obviously going to be off for a long time with stage 4 cancer, but, and having my best friend Dwight with me makes it easy because you know what, when I do have to go for chemo, when I have these doctor's appointments, you know what I mean? I know that him and I were the same when it comes to coaching. So in that sense, Dwight, getting back to what you said, yes, Dwight has been my best friend, on this journey, aside from my family. And, I accredit everything to him. Mm. For sure.
Wow. What, what are like the chemo treatments you're going in for? What does that do? Cause I've heard different things on chemo. Does it take a big toll? Does it knock you down for a while or?
Yeah. That's funny. And I heard that too, just like you heard, how it's going to really beat you up. And, you know, and then people are warning you like, you know, chemo, not only it's supposed to attack the cancer cells, they say it attacks every single cell in your body. Right. And your immunity gets lowered quite, you know, you're immunocompromised. I was wearing a mask a lot last year when I first started my chemotherapy. When I did those first 3 rounds and I said I was on the standard American diet or Mediterranean diet, whatever you want to call it, I did have ups and downs. Like when I came home with that bottle attached, oh, I was drained. And then like when it came off on the Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I was drained. You know, a little bit of not feeling nauseous. It wasn't until I got on my regimen of diet and fasting that my symptoms totally changed. My energy level totally changed. Okay. And it got better as I became to master those things with diet and fasting and supplements. And I'll tell you, I really realized it because when I came back to chemo just last week, I wasn't into my regimen again. Because what ended up happening, and this is, you know, I don't think I shared this with you, Carrie. Wednesday, when I made that video for you, and I had started chemo, the day before on Tuesday, I buried my father.
Oh, wow.
My father passed away. Okay. So I had a lot going on in my life last week. And it was very emotional, very tough. So on the Monday of last week, was actually my son's birthday. We didn't celebrate because we're burying Nonno, who is it's Italian and grandfather. We're burying him on Tuesday. And but I ate, you know, I had a meal with my son for his birthday, Peter. He has 15th birthday. And, you know, we ate, my wife and I and my 2 sons. But then on Tuesday, my dad's funeral, there was a reception after and I felt the need to eat. So I went into... And I ate carnivore. I'm not saying I didn't cheat or anything. I ate carnivore for those 2 days. But then I went into my chemo without a fast because my routine was Sunday nights, I would stop eating. I would do a 5-day fast around chemo. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'd have chemo. Thursday, I'd be fasting. Friday, when the bottle comes off, I start eating again. I start consuming calories. So I had a routine going that, like you said, Carrie, when I introduce my diet and my fasting, and I pretty much know, I kind of know, like I don't even have to do a keto test. Like I know, actually I do a keto test when I go for chemo. If I start fasting on Sunday, when I go for chemo on Wednesday, when they test my urine, I have ketones overflowing, and I know that's like I'm in a good state of ketosis. That anyways, when I'm in ketosis, which I am quite often through my diet and fasting, my symptoms are really good. Like I don't, like I still get kind of tired for the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but this past weekend, like Saturday, Sunday, I was back at it. Like I, you know, and this week I've been phenomenal. Like I've been feeling optimal as I can feel. And I totally 100% contribute it to diet and fasting.
Wow. And so this,
and,
this,
sorry, and moving and exercise.
Right.
Okay. Those are key too. Sorry.
So this whole regimen, you were guided towards this from your friend Dwight watching some videos, but I mean, did you kind of formulate this? We're like, okay, I'm doing the chemo on this day, so I got to start fasting this. Was there anything out there like that? Or did you just kind of put all this together with all of your research?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was a little bit of everything. So Dwight, that Dr. Berg first video, learning about fasting, the French fellow that had the same thing. He did a 21-day fast and he ate ribeye steaks. That's all he ate, is ribeye steaks. Okay. And then I had that one for another friend, that woman I met from Brantford, who had it, and she's in remission now. She had it for 2 years, colon cancer, and hers was in the liver, lungs, everywhere. And she wrote a book and it's called My Miracle Journey. Her name's, and I got no problem spitting it out there because she's all over the place too. Her name's Ronnie Campbell. So from her, she had the same thing I had, and her regimen was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no eating. Okay. And she was pretty ketogenic. She wasn't carnivore. I think she was a little bit, and this is where I'm sure we can get in discussions later, Carrie, about, I'm not a big fan of what they call the keto diet, because, you know, society has, you know, they slap the word keto on everything without even knowing the meaning of things. And I'm not a big fan of veg, for many reasons. Everything I'm learning from Dr. Anthony Chafee, and even just all the doctors in general, what I'm learning from them. So, you know, that Ronnie, the videos, Dwight, I started piecing everything together. And, you know, one of the other doctors I'll tell you right now is, I'm huge on, is Dr. Thomas Seyfried. I mentioned it earlier. Okay. He's like, he's a professor of cancer biology. I think he's at Harvard, one of the famous universities in the States. But Thomas Seyfried, you know, he's a veteran when it comes to studying cancer and as a metabolic disease. Okay. And that's another thing. Like, this is not a genetic disease. Okay, I think it's a metabolic disease, and it's the mitochondria gone wrong. And Thomas Seyfried says it as it is. If you block glucose and you block glutamine, tumors can't grow. I listen to him every day because he gives me hope. So and a ketogenic diet was a way for me to start, but I never would have thought I'm pretty much carnivore. I know, Carrie, you've done the last 6 months. You've done the lion diet, which is amazing. And I think I do need to do that soon. I'll have a week. I have weeks at a time where I do that. But when I say I'm carnivore, you know, I've graduated from like keto carnivore to, you know, 70% carnivore, 30% keto, to like carnivore sometimes, to like carnival animal based. And I'm not animal based like the way Paul Saladino is. He kind of drives me nuts when he says he's animal based because he eats way too much glucose and fructose. Okay.
Right.
So, but he doesn't have cancer. You know what I mean? So right now, when I say I'm carnivore, I'm animal products. Like I do eat the good cheeses, like the Asiago cheese, the harder cheeses, not the fake cheeses. I eat eggs like crazy because I think eggs are life and there's so many vitamins and minerals in there. And mainly red meat. Ribeyes, like Dwight's hooked me up with a butcher where my freezer's loaded with ribeyes, ground beef, You know, I do eat chicken, I do eat pork, and I do eat seafood, but you know what I mean? Like once in a while, beef is my main staple. And it's become my sons, my two sons, their main staple too. Peter is pretty much carnivore. Dante, my younger son, is working towards it. My wife, I'm really proud of. She's keto. She loves her veg, and she's got to do what she's got to do, right, in her life, and that's fine. But you know, I'm doing what I'm doing because I have cancer, and because everything I'm learning and piecing together.
Right. I just as a side note, I love that one of your sons' name is Dante, because Oh, are you still there?
Sorry, I think froze. Right.
I think I'm back now. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think just a little delay. Yeah, I was going to say, I love that one of your sons' names is Dante. I only know one other Dante. That's Dante Ferrigno, carnivore diet, lion diet. And that's how I learned about carnivore, was from Dante. So that's kind of cool.
Really? Dante Ferrigno.
Yeah, Ferrigno Freedom.
That's amazing. I didn't know. Yeah. Like Dante Ferrigno, the athlete. Yeah.
No,
I didn't know that.
No, he's sorry, there's a little delay, I think. He's a YouTuber. He's been doing Lion Diet for a little over 2 years. He's about to hit 1,000 days on Lion Diet. But he was one of the if you get a chance, check him out. Ferrigno Freedom. He was one of the first people to document on YouTube doing carnivore or lion diet. And it's kind of remarkable his results he had, but
I'll be watching him tonight for sure.
Yeah. Thanks. So Jeff, you mentioned a little bit, and you did another video. I think it was your second video titled "What Caused My Cancer." Can you talk about that a little more?
Yes. Thanks, Kerry. I love what we're doing here. And I think I need to do a little bit more of this, because this is a little more casual, professional, but casual. My two sons, you know, my first video was fine. I was pretty beat up from chemo, but I was pretty monotoned and robotic. And my second one, my son said, "Yeah, Dad, you're a little bit too robotic in that video." But you know, I did, the whole point of everything is to deliver the message and to start a network for people that are going through, cancer or similar type autoimmune diseases or any metabolic disease, that you know they can grab bits and pieces from me. So I now realize, like, sometimes I'm like, even my buddy Dwight's like, your next video needs to be, you need to tell your story, right? Like, you need to start with that, right? And I think you helped me out here with this video, Kerry, is that, you know, you got me telling my story. So I jumped the gun a little bit there on my second video when I titled it "What Caused My Cancer," but I just, you know, I explained that I've learned that even though they did a test through an autopsy to see if my cancer was genetic caused, hereditary, and I'm not, even though. My mom, on a different story, my dad who passed away, he passed away from leukemia. My mom had a form of cancer years ago, but she beat it. But hers was genetic, and she had immunotherapy help her out. So I was kind of, at the time when I didn't know much about cancer or much about diet or much about metabolic diseases, at the time when the genetic test was done on my cancer, I was a little disappointed, because I had a good experience with immunotherapy through my mom. So I was kind of hoping that I had genetic cancer. But anyways, genetics and mutations and this and that, to me, that's one small little variable from what I've learned can cause cancer. All cancers, I believe, from everything I've been learning, is metabolic disease. And that's why I wanted to make that video, that second video, "What Caused My Cancer." I believe, through all my research and, you know, my conversations with my unofficial doctor, Dwight, my buddy, he said, "You caused your cancer, Jeff." And I did. I caused my cancer, and I caused it through lifestyle. I think in the video I mentioned oxidative stress on your cells, which, you know, that's a lifestyle thing. Like in terms of, you know, what I mentioned about like having a vitamin D deficiency. I mentioned carbs, diet, I mentioned lifestyle, and I even added in alcohol there because that's all part of oxidative stress. And not that I'm an alcoholic. Like during the school year, like the odd time on a Friday night, I have a drink, right? But in this, as a teacher, summer's off sometimes, and going on vacations and stuff, I would abuse that. And I did that for 15 years. And, I'm sure there's a lot of adults in the world that do stuff like that. But, the way I'm built, I've learned the way I'm built from my osteopath and maybe doing all these things, the lifestyle, put a lot of stress on cells in my body in a certain way. So I think I caused my disease, and I'm trying to believe and hope that I can reverse my disease as much as possible by doing the regimen that I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Cause that's the thing. Like when I hear cancer, it's always like, well, what caused it? It always seems like, well, we don't know. We can't figure it out. It sounds like you got kind of a good idea.
Well,
based on your experience.
My doctors, when I asked my doctors, like the oncologist and the colon liver specialist, their answer to me, you know what? It's not genetic. It's a fluke. It's just a fluke. I'm so sorry to say. They would say, I'm so sorry. It's a fluke, but it's not a fluke. I think like everything I'm learning, especially about diet and the stuff that we're eating causes a lot of problems. Mm. Right. So, these are all inferences, that I'm making. I'm not a doctor, and I can't say that when I title what caused my cancer, this is me, what I believe caused my cancer. And I think, like I said earlier, I'm the living test tube, and I can see it in what I'm doing every single day now for the past year and a half.
Right. Wow. Wow. So, okay. Now, then you started doing carnivore, and you mentioned this a little bit in the other video, but there's going to be a lot of people here that maybe didn't see that one. So how are things going now? Well, you kind of said this already, but you've been feeling better. Not as drained during chemo and things like that. Have you noticed other things changing with you as you're doing carnivore?
Yes, that's a great question. When I say everybody, I mean everybody in the community I live in, especially the high school I teach at. I'm known as Mr. DeProsperous, the high school phys ed teacher. And I always looked very fit. So when I left work, and I was at my school earlier today, and I was talking to a close teacher friend of mine. And she asked me, she's like, cause she was asking me about my story a little bit actually this morning. Cause I told her I had to go home to film this. And she said like, yeah, Jeff, everybody knew you as fit, and you're Mr. Prosperous, fit and healthy. And like, you're strong. And I taught, not only did I teach and coach all the sports, I created a weightlifting course that I taught for the past 10 years. But you know what? I was always and this happens to many of us when we get into our careers after, high school and university, you get to your adult weight. And I was not happy with my adult weight. Like, I've been on my journey for a year and a half, but if you even go back to 2 years ago, before I decided to become a vegetarian, when I said I was having earlier, I was saying I was bloated and everything, like a month before that, like, I'm talking like 2 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, I was the heaviest ever, 211 pounds. Mm. And nobody would see. But now when I look at photos, and Dwight, actually, my best friend Dwight sent me a photo of us coaching together like 4 years ago. And like, my face looks thick. Like I look thick. I'm wearing like large or extra large shorts to like, because I had to, I wanted to hide like what I was storing in my gut. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't happy. I was playing soccer as an adult. I was coaching a lot. I was moving. I was still doing all these things. I was performing. But I wasn't happy. I knew I was way too heavy. So carnivore, what ended up happening, and when I, especially with the fasting, but I'll tell you my regimen here. When I started going on carnivore and fasting, I started dropping the weight immediately within the first couple months. And I got down to about the lowest I ever saw was 148 pounds, from 211 to 148.
Wow.
like within within months of being carnivore and fasting. And the fasting part of it, a lot of that was water retention, and I figured that out. But once I started to really take control of my body, 160. I'm 160 right now, and for the past pretty much majority of my chemo regimen last year, and even this past summer, which I cheated a lot on fasting. I didn't fast that much over the summer on my chemo break, but I ate a lot. Like I ate a ton of carnivore. And so basically on my regimen during my year, I would basically eat 1 week and not eat the next week when I'm on chemo, the 5 days. So when I'm eating, I eat. Like I eat a lot. And I learned this from like Anthony Chafee. I learned this from Sean Baker, Kendi Berry, to eat. And like Anthony Chafee even said he eats late at night. And so now I was always concerned about that. Like, yeah, but I've learned if you eat carbs, yeah, don't go to bed. But I'm eating like meat. Like I'm eating pork rinds, a bowl of pork rinds before I go to bed and I feel fine. Or if I have some leftover beef patties from dinner, there's two or three left in the fridge. Like I'll eat them at 10 o'clock at night and I go to bed. Like a lion does, right? Like, so I'll eat like me and my boys, I'll tell you a story. We've added this into our regimen when we're on the go, because I'm on the go quite a bit with them for sports. So when I don't have time to cook for them at home and we're in a rush and we need to stop at like, we have A&W here in Canada. If you have A&W there,
yeah,
supposed to be grass fed beef, whatever. I'm sure it's not. All right, I'm sure it's not grass finished beef, but anyways, it's supposed to be real healthy for a fast food joint. But we even go to Wendy's and we go to McDonald's and we grab patties. We just grab patties. So my son's like, my son Peter, before a soccer game or even a practice, he eats like five patties, like five quarter pound patties, like
wow,
like an hour before a soccer practice. And if you watch him perform, it's like he's working his butt off and he's optimal and he doesn't complain. He never feels bloated. And I don't feel bloated either. Like I'll eat five or six burgers. When we go to McDonald's to get burgers, we get those little thin ones, right? So my son Peter gets like 10. I get like 8. we started doing, like, I think you taught me this and my buddy Dwight taught me this. I carry Redmond Fine Salt with me and we sprinkle it on it and then we eat it. So I can eat as much as I want. And I also have mastered fasting. Even when I'm fasting, like in the past year, the lowest I'll get is like 158 when I go in for chemo, when they weigh me, 158. And then like it's 158 to 162. And then when I'm eating like crazy, I'm like 162. But yeah, like I've taken control and it's such an amazing relief, because I know this is going to sound kind of cheesy, Carrie, but like the food I was eating before was way too much in control of me, way too much in control of my body.
Right? Yes.
Carbs, whatever you want to call it, because carbs, sugar, glucose, they're all the same molecule. Like they were hiding everything. Like, you know what, when I talk about earlier, like I wish I would have did something earlier about my colon cancer that's probably was there for 5 years. It was hidden. And I'm not just talking by fat, but by everything, by inflammation, by your body adapting to all these horrible foods that you're putting in your body. So now on carnivore, I feel like, no, the food doesn't control me. I control it. Like, that's, I just kind of came up with that right now, to be honest with you.
I love that. I know it sounds kind of cheesy too. I had that saying for a while that I'm the captain of my own ship now. I'm in control.
Yes.
It's a weird benefit of carnivore, because I didn't go into carnivore to be in control, but it's a complete life shift on like every aspect of things. It's really weird. You really realize how liberating it is to be on carnivore and how much of just that food was controlling us before, because it's everything, every meal. Exactly. What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? And it's like none of that anymore.
I think the biggest word is inflammation. And I think even you talk, like I know from watching your videos, you talk about your toe quite a bit. Like, and that's inflammation.
Yes.
Right? And you got rid of it. Right.
100% gone. And they were going to do surgery on that toe.
That's crazy.
And this guy here,
I always got to shout out my friend Bill, but This guy here in Alaska, 700-pound build. That was his most amazing thing. Going to the bathroom every day was agonizing. And that's within crazy. Like 2 weeks, he's like, Carrie, it's how does this happening so fast? I said, inflammation. It's just the inflammation. That's one encouraging thing for people that are thinking about starting carnivore is that that's one thing that happens pretty quick on carnivore is that inflammation starts to go away.
Yes, big time.
And people should be more worried about it, and they're not. In the general public, it's always, you're going to die of a heart attack. What's your cholesterol look like? And meanwhile, they're fully inflamed and their metabolic health is horrible. They're thinking about the wrong things. But that's so cool with your boys, too. I can't imagine. I got the little air fryer there when I did the 24-hour live stream.
Yes.
I'm right around 162. At my heaviest, I was 262. And I recently got down. So I'm down 100 since my heaviest. I didn't lose all of that on carnivore. I lost most of it. I did some of it on keto before, like you were talking about.
Yes, yes.
And then I kept falling off because of all those stupid keto snacks and keto this and that. But anyhow, I started getting really, really hungry when I lost most of this weight. When I did that 24-hour live stream, I had 2 ribeyes, 2 strip steaks, and I had 2 huge bowls of scrambled eggs with ground beef and bacon in them. And I was still hungry. Now, granted, that was kind of a taxing thing for 24 hours, but I've been eating a lot too. And it was just like you said, Jeff, you don't feel it. Like before,
you
feel heavy. And
you know what? Sometimes there's a lot of things I'm sure, like because I hear the way you interact and talk to your wife too. And my wife is like, I try to explain to her, like, I don't get full. And she's like, stop making this up. You don't get full. She gets frustrated with me sometimes when I'm trying to explain how much success I'm having with my diet. And it's the absolute truth. Like I don't feel bloated and full ever. Like I remember Anthony Chaffee just saying all the time, and me and my boys have learned this, like as soon as the meat stops tasting good while you eat it, you stop. That's it. Right.
So
and
simple.
Then it's that simple, but you know what? Like an hour later, I'm hungry again. And I'm like, I don't need to be hungry. Not like the carb crave hungry, but I could eat another 3 or 4 burgers or a couple more pieces of ribeye if I need it. If I wanted to, I don't have to, but if I wanted to. Right.
It's a different kind of hunger, not like that old, the carb day hunger where it's sugar cravings. It's different
for sure.
It's cool how you talk about Dr. Chaffee. Have you seen his refrigerator?
From time to time.
I'll have to send you. He did a short. I'll have to send you this video because life goals. His refrigerator, you open the door and it's 100% meat. There's nothing else in it. And it's amazing. All of these ribeyes and steaks, and they're all on racks, and he ages them in the fridge. But the whole thing is just full of meat. I was like, I had to show that. Yeah.
Amazing.
So, man, I'm really enjoying talking to you. Thanks. Do you have I can't believe it's almost been an hour already. I've got plenty of time, but I want to be respectful of your time. So
I'm pretty good today. I was really excited to meet you, Carrie. So I tried to block up as much time as possible because I didn't know how long this would take. So I'm having a good time. Thanks.
Likewise. And I'd love to do this again anytime, but we could talk about that a little bit more.
Sure.
With your sons too. That is amazing. They're doing that. I like when you guys love Dr. Chaffee. I do too. When you look at him and you're like, this guy is like human 2.0 or something because he does no surgery for like 18 hours a day. And then he's on YouTube for until 2-3 o'clock.
Does he have time? He doesn't have time to work out.
Yeah. And he looks like a superhero or something. He looks like a bodybuilder. It's carnivore. Now imagine for your sons. That's why I kept saying like this next generation of kids, man, if they started eating, imagine Dr. Chaffee, because he's only been doing it 5-10 years. If he had done that as a child, now your sons are getting into it. I'm so happy for them. That's really cool.
Thanks a lot. And you nailed it. Like imagine if all our kids, you know, got on board in today's world. And when I mentioned earlier that I was a little bit embarrassed of what I've taught, like I taught nutrition to my health classes. And I, you know, the Canada Food Guide, and probably similar to the American Food Guide, like it's all set up wrong in terms of what we should be eating. And from what I've learned, okay. And you know, my buddy Dwight, because I keep referring to him, but because he's become my best friend and we coach together and he's an athlete and I'm an athlete and you know, he's like, and he knows my sons and he knows how I, you know, I live my life with my sons every single day, trying to make them as optimal as possible. Not, you know, not as an athlete, but in school, when it comes to like mental clarity and smarts and everything. Right. So Dwight was like, yeah, like right from the start, when I started having success with this, he's like, yeah, you got to try to get Peter and Dante there too. And I was like, you know, at first when people hear that, especially my wife, she was a little bit, you know, a little bit stand backish on it. Like, you know, we're doing this to our kids. We're taking all these, you know, healthy vegetables and fruits and this away from our kids. Like, well, they're growing. The more and more we learn and the more and more we see, again, like my sons are living tests. Like my son, Peter, you know, he's 15. You know, I'm 5'10". He's 6'1" already. Okay. He's still growing. He's getting stronger. He's always been really skinny, but now he's starting to thicken up and get stronger. And he feels really good when he eats meat. And my son Dante is having the same success. Okay. So, and when you look at them, when people always like, people want to judge so much, you know what I mean? And Dr. Anthony Chafee nailed it. Like you're going to have a lot of haters out there and you're gonna have a lot of people, you know, thinking you're crazy and what you're doing and everything. But, you know, if you look at my son, Dante and Peter, they have the glow too. You know what I mean? You can just tell they're not missing any, you know, they're not missing any essential nutrients. Because right. They can get all those essential nutrients from a ribeye steak or any types of beef, pretty much all types of beef. Okay. And, you know, then they're the same thing. They eat eggs. Peter doesn't eat cheese because there's bad things in cheese too. I got to try to eliminate that. Right. So, you know, yeah. You can even talk about the science, like the human growth hormones increased mm-hmm. when you're a carnivore, and these boys that are growing. Okay. Like, would you not want that? Right. Instead of like, you know, when you talk about, I know you've talked about it many times in your videos, Carrie, but you know, if you study anthropology on how the humans were this tall and then agriculture came and now we're this tall, like it's proven right there. Like there's something's going on with our food that we need to change and we need to change it for our kids. So when people question, hey, what are you doing for your kids? I'm like, I'm trying to make my kids as optimal as possible in life. I'm doing them a benefit. I think just like, you know,
yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons with the carnivore diet documentary that really got me fired up. Dr. Baker, again, I mentioned him earlier, but he said on the podcast, he's like, it's such a sad thing that this next generation of kids, they're never going to know what it's like to be normal, to feel like a natural human. You're just from a youngest age.
Yeah.
Apple juice and sugar and inflammation. And then they get ADHD and learning disorders and problems. And then they get in their teenage years and they start getting the depression and anxiety and all of these other issues. And it's just,
you just remind me when you said apple juice and orange juice and all that stuff, you know, the stuff that they, even in the schools, they feed it in Breakfast Club to kids. Right. You know, and I got no problem saying this because and I'm going to say this right now. And if the hospitals have a problem with it, change. Like I go in for cancer treatment every other week. And what they do is there's actually a refrigerator of Ensure. I'm not sure. Do you know what Ensure is? It's like, it's a calorie, but it's all sugar. It's all, you know, it's a calorie boosting, meal replacement type thing. Okay. And it's available there for the cancer patients. And then, you know, then they're coming around, you know, have the volunteers come around. Hey, would you like a cookie? Hey, would you like this bread, this piece of bread cracker? Or, you know, can I get you some juice? And I'm thinking everything I'm learning. And like, and meanwhile, I'm the only one sitting in the cancer clinic that, you know, I haven't eaten since 2 or 3 days ago. And, you know, I'm feeling great. Right. And I don't know. I just, it's just shocking how we can see, like, I think you and I can see it because we're a little more aware right now, but it's almost like the rest of the world is blind to like everything that's happening to our kids and to us as adults. Like I'm 44 years old. I'm not supposed to have stage 4 cancer. Like, and there's lots of other people like younger than me that are getting it like more and more. Like it's a weird place we're living right now. And that's why I'm having a hard time with, not spreading my story, right? Because I think it needs to get out there.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting how you said that, because I didn't notice it before either. It's just everything becomes normal when you're kind of living like that. And now that, I don't know, our brains are clear, the brain fog's cleared up, but I look around too, just like you said, and you look around and, well, people getting cancer younger is of course one of them, but just the average population, people just don't look healthy, don't feel healthy. Everyone has these ailments and issues and depression and heart disease is going through the roof. It's crazy. It's weird. These things start revealing themselves more and more. It's why it's fun talking to you, Jeff, and other carnivores, because it's like, we get it. We're seeing it. What do we do about it?
You know what? I'll tell you something. Because my son, Peter, and Dante, I think it was Dante the other day, he goes to me, Dad, like, other than Dwight, we don't have really any carnivore friends. And I'm like, you're right. Like, I'm like, but now, Carrie, you're like my second carnivore friend. So, so I'm pretty happy about that.
I have some notes here. I'm not even really going off of them because this conversation is great. But literally, one of them on here is, this is kind of childish, but Jeff, will you be my friend now? Because I'm dead serious, man. I'm here for you forever.
Absolutely. Thank you. You said that to me in an email last week, and it brought tears in my eyes, Carrie, because, for one, what I'm going through, it's very tough. And I did tell you, I'm in my personal life, I'm very introverted, and I keep to myself and to my small group of friends. So I'm taking you in, Carrie. I'm going to be selfish here, and I'm taking you in for sure.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I love your story. I love your passion. I love that you want to share this with people. And I just like you in general. So that's the thing with carnivore.
Thanks.
You're going to see this, Jeff. This is the thing with carnivore. It's you probably already are seeing it, but if you start doing more of this YouTube stuff, the carnivore community of people, it's the most amazing people. I don't know what it is. It's like you mentioned earlier, your son's getting the glow. I see you have the glow. It's just this, it's a weird thing. It's like when the brain and the body, when it's in the natural human state, you're just nice. You're just good, nice people. There's so much more positive. It's really interesting because literally everyone I've met over the last 6 months, I'm like, these people are great. I want to spend more time. I want to surround myself with people like Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the carnivore diet documentary, kind of the goal is to reach people that are hopeless. Or that are desperate. And I really think there's a lot of people out there. They always say with carnivore, you have to have your why. You obviously have a huge why.
Yes.
But I get the feeling that there are a lot of people that are already hopeless or desperate. They have a why. They just don't know how to start. They don't know the how. They're scared. They're like a deer stuck in the headlights. Like, what do I do? This is crazy. I can't just eat meat. What do you think for those people, if you could say anything to them? It's a hard conversation to have with people that are like that. They want to change, but they're too scared to.
Sorry. I just want to make sure I'm answering this properly. Is this for people that want to change, that they think they have no health problems, but they want to change, or people that are diagnosed with something?
People that do, but maybe they're not sure. For example, a big one is depression. I'm horribly depressed. I'm hopeless. I don't know what to do. I want to do something. But then maybe someone says, well, try this carnivore thing. All these people are having success, but they're too scared. Yes. They're terrified of how can I eat only meat? How can I change? They're scared to change. Kind of like a deer stuck in the headlights.
I get it now. And I think the best way that I can think about this, and I'm just trying to think of it in perspective to the people that are close to me in my life right now. And that's where I wanted to start, like in terms of my sons and my wife, my sister, my brother-in-law, my parents. You know, I lost my father just recently, but even my mom, you know, she's older. I want to start with them because I love them so much. Right. So I'm trying to start, but I understand where they're coming from. Like, I even have conversations with my sister a lot, who she's like, yeah, but that's what you do, Jeff. I you do what you have to do. And I there's a lot of things I can see, you know, with my sister, my brother-in-law, okay, even my wife, my mom, like, I see them, that I know, and I hope that if they just tried it themselves, they're going to feel the benefits. They're going to see the benefits. Okay. I get how they're doubters and how they've been raised and how they've almost been brainwashed by society. I get that. I get all of that. But But I always say, and I think it might be Kendi Berry, the 30-day challenge or whoever it is. Dr. Kiltz is another one I talk to, I watch all the time. They always say, like, do it for 30 days. Like, can you do it for 30 days? Just try it. And you know what I mean? And even if it's not carnivore, even if it's just keto, okay, whatever you want to call it, like, don't, whatever you do, don't buy the wrappers that say keto in the grocery store. Like, stick to whatever. If you want to eat veg, stick to the keto veg, even though I can't stand that. There's a lot of negatives to that, but start with that and do it for 30 days. Do the ketogenic diet for 30 days or do carnivore for 30 days and see what happens. And I almost guarantee, that you're going to see some benefits. I can almost, I know they will. Like, I just, you know, I have another one of those close people in my life complains about like soreness in the shoulder and neck and this and that. And I'm like, it's inflammation, you know, yep. You know, it's inflammation. It's, you know, it's all, it's oxalates, it's this and that, you know, things that are causing problems to your cells, right? To your body. So if you can lower those, okay, you're going to see all these aches and pains go away. So, and to the people that are out there that are fighting something like I am, you know, a horrible disease in your life that's really taking control of you, which it shouldn't, if you can take control of it. And if you can do that by, you know, grabbing maybe even one little Timbit for me today, you know, grabbing a Timbit for me, grabbing a Timbit from Carrie, you know, all of the doctors, the great doctors that are on YouTube, hopefully it'll give you hope and, you know, it will change you physically and mentally while you're on your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things too, that's great. So some people aren't going to, they're just not going to want to do it, but they see your example, Jeff. And then if they ever have to, if they get to a point where they have to, they'll have this in their toolbox. So I try to look at the silver lining there. Absolutely. Then looking at the negative, I did an interview with Lee Carnivore Kent, and sadly he lost his colon. He had to have surgery to have his colon removed from colitis. And he's doing carnivore now and he's just thriving. He overcame depression, anxiety. But his message was, I wish I knew about this before I lost my colon.
That's
so
right.
Hopefully his advice was, hopefully people don't wait until it's too long and they end up, you know, losing their colon like he had to, or something more serious like that.
Absolutely. Because any itis is inflammation, right?
Yes.
So if you got any type of itis out there, start by trying to take control of it yourself.
Right. So Jeff, what can we expect from, what are your plans coming up? Like, are you going to be doing a lot more YouTube videos? You seem pretty fired up and passionate about this.
If you're willing to help me out.
Yes. That was good.
I definitely need you in my life to help me out with this. I would like to, like, you don't understand how, like, my boys also, they're not your typical teenagers. Like, Dante's 13 and 15. Like, Peter just got his first device phone last year and Dante doesn't have one yet. But they're pretty like on board with, when it comes to knowing about social media, and they're so excited because all we do is watch YouTube that like, they, like Peter's like, Dad, cause I was leaving the house today. And he's like, Dad, I hope, you know, earlier this morning, he goes, I hope you have an awesome time with Carrie. Like, I can, you know, good luck on your interview with Carrie. So, you know, I want to continue. I know you're willing to help me, and I'm going to try and get better at it. I think I think when you do something like this, like, honestly, when I was teaching like for the past 5-6 years and these random teenagers come into me in a health class or in the gym and phys ed, I'm like, hey, Mr. Prosper, you ever follow this YouTuber or that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? YouTube, those YouTube people are crazy. I would say, I would put a stigma on it. Right. And I didn't really know like how beneficial, this YouTube world is, this channel world is, and if you're using it for the right reasons, I'm sure there's a lot of negatives to it too, but I think I do really want to try to pursue it, to for everybody in the world. Like if I can be that small little piece for somebody in their life, like giddy up, let's go. Hopefully they get blessed by, you know, taking little tidbits from me and you and everybody out there.
Right. Yeah. Your story is so powerful. Your voice is so powerful. That's really cool. Your sons are like, Dad's going to be a YouTuber. Yay.
Yeah, exactly. I never would have thought. Yeah.
Well, see, like, again, my friend Bill.
Yes.
Most shy person in the world. Now, if you go watch his YouTube channel, he is, I don't know what, there's this weird phenomenon. I'm not trying to put too much credit on myself because I've done YouTube for 8 years. A lot of the YouTube stuff I've done in the past. So I'm like, oh, I got to get the drone and go fly it. I got to get this shot and get this shot. You talking with your voice is 100 times more powerful than all of that stuff. And it's, here's proof right there. This guy, Bill, he was terrified to do a YouTube, but he wanted to help people just like you. And he wanted to share his story. And he knew there were hopeless people out there. He does a video once a week. He's getting more views than I am now. And I was, wow. I was a little jealous at first, but I'm happy because he's inspiring so many people. And he never did YouTube before. It's just him talking and his voice. You have a much more incredible story than I have, honestly. And I've been so fortunate. This is the cool thing, Jeff. No pressure, but if you're interested and want to do it, or when you're ready to do it, these guys we're talking about, like Dr. Baker, he would have you on his show. I am certain of it.
It's no way.
Dr. Chafee too. I introduced you. I showed you your video during the live stream to Dr. Chafee. So,
I would love that.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are like, I don't know how you are. I'm sure you're probably similar to me, Carrie, like when it comes to, idolizing people. My whole life, like I idolized Michael Jordan, famous soccer players, like Italian soccer players. Right now, like Chafee, Baker, Barry, like, and even you, you're those people that I'm like, I will drop anything in a dime to meet you, to talk to you. You're like my Michael Jordan in my life right now. So I would love to, Anthony Chafee, Baker, whoever it is, I would love it. It'd be an absolute blessing and an honor.
Awesome. It's going to happen. Let's do it. Right. After we're done with this, I'm going to message Dr. Chafee. The other thing with these guys, Jeff.
Yes.
I idolized them too. I was so nervous the first time I talked to Dr. Chafee. I think I've since done like 4 or 5 videos with him. I'm so blessed to be able to do that. They're the coolest guys. They're so generous with their time. I've seen Dr. Barry, who has, I think, almost 3 million subscribers on YouTube. Like, to me, I'm like, this guy's famous. He's written books and everything. I've seen him go on people's YouTube channels that have like 10 subscribers just because he's a good guy and they asked him to. Like, they're so generous. Now, of course, some of them are busy and it takes a little while to get on their channels and stuff. But Dr. Baker, I'm sure, would love to have you on. I'm sure Dr. Chafee would as well. The other thing that's cool for you on the YouTube side is, if you do chemo or something, you're a little worn down, but then you're feeling better, you can just pick up the camera, do the video. It doesn't have to be live. Record it whenever you get some motivation or inspiration and then just load it up later. But if you're interested in doing it, the next kind of big thing that I think would be great for you is doing like a live stream, because I'm sure I'm going to post this. People are going to love this video. You're so inspirational. But then they're going to say, Carrie, why didn't you ask Jeff this or this or this? And so the live streams are cool for that because you'll just get questions flowing in on the side there. So
I could do that. I would love to do that. Live stream would be great.
Open invitation. Anytime you want, you just say the word and we'll set it up for sure.
Okay.
And I've got a whole network of people helping me on the carnivore diet documentary. A whole bunch of volunteers and almost every one of them has a YouTube channel. So I'll post on there later too and say, I'm interviewed my new best friend, Jeff. He's awesome. He's open. If you guys want to reach out to him, I'll definitely connect you with them too, but we got to get you on Dr. Baker, Dr. Chafee first. I'll talk to those guys. And
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So man, it's just time just flew by. I'd love to talk some more in the future, but for right now, everyone who's watching, check out Jeff's channel, Blessings on My Journey. Could you just, one last question, if you could. Blessings on My Journey. How did you come up with that name? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, good question. I've been trying to think of a name if I did something like this. And by the way, like my sister, who's also a teacher, she's an elementary school teacher. My friend Dwight, Ronnie, who wrote the book Miracle, My Miracle Journey. They all been telling me, Jeff, you got to start journaling and doing something. And so you could tell your story someday, write a book maybe. But here's a joke a little bit. I'm a high school phys ed teacher. I'm not really big on reading and writing. I became a gym teacher for that reason. So I do feel comfortable with talking. So YouTube is the way I'm deciding to me, in essence, this will be my journal. And every single thing I come across the last year and a half, I try not to take it as negative. And I try to take it as a blessing, like everything, like me being, it sucks that I'm off work right now because I love my job, but it's a blessing because it's a blessing that I get to spend more time with my sons, my wife, my sister, my close friends, like my buddy Dwight. Everything's a blessing. Like yesterday, I hung out with Dwight all day, like in the middle of the day. I wouldn't be able to do that normally, right? So every single thing I do day to day, and that's the thing. When you're going through something like I'm going through, and whatever anybody has, any type of disease, you gotta count your blessings. And so that's my philosophy now in life, is to treat everything as a blessing as much as possible. And that's not easy to do. I know in the world we live in, there can be a lot of negativity, but try your best to only bring the blessings in. That's why I named it that.
Love that, man. That's a great way to end it too.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeff. I really appreciate you being brave and sharing your story with everyone. And I can't wait to talk to you more.
I can't wait to hang out with you more, Carrie. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Carrie here for the Carnivore Diet movie. And thank you so much for watching our YouTube videos and listening to our podcast. It's because of you and your support that we're able to do this Carnivore Diet documentary. We're making great progress, and I'm not going to stop until we reach millions of people. But we still need to raise more funds in order to film this properly to the level needed to get it on one of these big streaming services. So we're asking for your help. If you would, please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free to our email newsletter. And once a week, we'll be sending out updates behind the scenes. We'll tell you about new meetups. We'll give you special invites and things like that. Completely free. Sign up there. The other thing you can do at the website is purchase our little portable travel size Redmond salt shaker with a keychain holder. People have been loving these. We offered them on our 24-hour live stream. You can purchase these right on the website. And every proceed, every penny that we get from profit goes right towards the Carnivore Diet documentary. And the other thing we have there are the water bottles and the cutting boards. They're completely customizable and you can engrave them. Every penny from those goes to support the Carnivore Diet documentary. You can also link on over to the GoFundMe. That's where we'll get the most bang for your buck is there. So please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. Thank you.